here talking about serious issues. All right, we're in here on the Alex Jones Show today talking about very serious political stuff. And Chase Geiser comes in here in the break and shows off his new shirt. We like to have fun around here every once in a while when it's when it's allowed. What do they say? When dad's away, the kids will play. When we're allowed to have fun, we try to have a laugh. So Chase comes in here with his new shirt, and we're having a laugh about it. And he goes, oh, this shirt is at the website. I'm like, are you serious? Like, we got a new t-shirt design? All right. So if you want to make your friends laugh, do you want to make your friends laugh? Or maybe, oh, man, I can't help myself. I just can't help myself. If you want to make your friends laugh, we have a new t-shirt for you at thealexjonesstore.com. Or if you want to Sydney Sweeney yourself, is that a good way to put it? How could I put it? If you want to embellish your upper torso region, we've got the shirt for you guys. Can I get it on the screen, please? Let me see this on the screen. I didn't even know. What's up? We don't even have it yet? So I just got gaslit over a t-shirt, is what you're telling me. Are we selling this t-shirt or not? I need to know right now, because now I've just been gaslit. When is this shirt going up on the website? What is happening here? So is this a limited edition? What is happening here? All right, here we go. Chase's new t-shirt. Now, I'm not sure if Chase was feeling a little confused today. Were you feeling gender confused, or are you just embracing Sydney Sweeney?
You want that colostrum plus?
Wow. So there it is, the new Sydney Sweeney t-shirt. Not on the site yet, though? When is it getting up?
Yeah, it's going to be up in like 30 seconds. I just snapped on him for not having it up.
Okay. Yeah. I've caused outrage here.
That's great.
I've caused outrage behind the scenes. The new Sydney Sweeney. Whoa, hold on a second now. You're not getting off that easy. I want you to stand right in front of that camera. I mean, right. There you go, buddy. There it is.
Eyes up here.
Is that Sydney Sweeney, or is that the new InfoWars t-shirt? You've been Rickrolled. It's like, wow, we got Sydney Sweeney in studio. No, we don't. Wow. All right, it's going to be at thealexjonesstore.com any moment now. We had a good laugh out of that. So there you go. Unintentional tease of the t-shirt. Soon to be up at thealexjonesstore.com. No relation to the Colostrum Plus supplement that we are selling. No relation at all. There's no theme there. Okay? Let's just get that straight. The Colostrum Plus supplement is available. Bovine Colostrum Plus, by the way, cellular recovery and defense matrix, is available, though, at thealexjonesstore.com. I know for a fact you can get that right now when you subscribe, 50% off. And very soon it'll be the Sydney Sweeney t-shirt. You know, I got a feeling they're going to make a package deal out of that now. Just for comedic reasons, this is going to be some sort of a package deal here. Okay, we all know why. All right, everybody knows why. Let's just calm down. All right, let's not get childish here. But this is the latest product, the latest supplement, Bovine Colostrum Plus. I have been supplementing with colostrum products for years now. I like to put them in my post workout protein shake. All kinds of benefits when it comes to muscle recovery and growth, but also gut health, immune health, so many other things associated with colostrum. And from somebody that's probably tried 5 or 6 different ones over the years, you can kind of tell the difference between quality and everything. No doubt this is high quality and Bovine Colostrum Plus, it's about as pure as you're going to get when it comes into colostrum supplements. Available now at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, a couple calls on the other side, then our guest.
At thealexjonesstore.com, I bring you whatever I personally think is the best and the coolest. That's our marketing plan. This knife sells all day long in stores for $100 or more. We bought a whole bunch of them, so we can sell it to you for $78. Stainless steel, blacked out, double-edged, razor-sharp, 1776 on the hilt, high-tech scabbard, hooks on your belt, doesn't come out, is amazing, right now at thealexandstore.com for 40% off, despite the fact it's selling out. And then this, World War II updated trench knife, 10 inches, razor-sharp, stainless steel, Spartan, tip of the spear. You can get this massively discounted up to 40% off right now with the Blades and Bullion Super Sale at thealexandstore.com. And that goes for these four silver collectible coins that are selling out as well, up to 40% off right now at thealexandstore.com. So take action.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Yeah, that's just all American beef. And the new colostrum supplement at InfoWars store, thealexjonesstore.com. All right. Let's take a couple calls before our guest joins us to talk about this crazy situation in Canada. And guys, whenever we're ready to go to him, just put that note on the screen for me. I'll take calls until he's ready. Let's go to Brittany in North Carolina now. Brittany, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if you've listened to the Danny Jones podcast with Dr. Jack Cruz or not, but I feel like he's a guest that you definitely have to have on. He's one of those that's going to help save humanity.
What was the name? What was the name of the lady?
No, his name is Dr. Jack Cruz.
Okay, Jack Cruz. I believe I've actually seen some of his work before. I don't know if he's been on though.
Yeah, no, he's never been on, but he's one of those. He's probably a guest that you must have on. It was his work. I'm in healthcare, and I just feel like everyone around me. It's just been, the cancer has been exploding.
Oh, yeah. Well, what do you think that could be tied into the vaccines, though?
Yeah, completely, because everyone has taken the vaccine. I was actually afforded a religious exemption for mine, so I didn't have to, but I feel like there's going to be, like, no one to take care of us in the future, which is because everybody's going to be dying of cancer. But that's just one point I wanted to make. But also, we live out on 48 acres right now. We just bought a property, and we haven't seen as much chemtrails. And then I'm thinking that maybe they're resorting to putting the vaccines in tomatoes or lettuce, or I saw where they had a patent with floss now where they can place vaccines. So I'm just wondering if that they've kind of shifted their plans as well.
Well, they're putting all kinds of chemicals in the food. RFK Jr. has addressed a lot of that. We haven't reached the point of them mRNA vaccinating all of our food products now or livestock yet. We are monitoring that. I think as a general statement, though, you know, it's hard for people to understand and comprehend this. And I think even for InfoWars, where we used to really focus on topics like this, we've kind of brought things more down to earth recently because the thirst for truth is out there and the political war is where we're gaining ground right now. But yeah, I think the understanding that people need to have is you're basically in a planetary system of population control. That's what it is. You're in a planetary system of population control, and there's a reason why they put poison in the food and the water. There's a reason why they spike these vaccines that can kill you and give you cancer. There's a reason why they want all these kids on pharmaceutical pills. There's a reason why they lie and start wars that millions of people die in unnecessarily. It's all population control.
Is that, do we really know what they're putting in our food? No, we do not. Do we really know that there's not mRNA in our vaccines if we don't get our beef from a farmer? I don't think so. So I think that everybody needs to be just hyper-vigilant about what we're eating.
Absolutely. And you know, I talk to a lot of people, even not just people that work on farms or cattle or agriculture, but even the big lobbyists They're keeping a tight eye on this. It's not really considered like sexy news to talk about, you know, injecting livestock with the mRNA shots. But there's a lot of people that are following this tightly and keeping it out of the livestock. So it is going on. You just don't really hear much about it. Thanks for the call, Brittany. There we go. We got it up. We got it up. Great jeans. Limited edition t-shirt. Give it to your girlfriend. She won't be mad at you at all. She won't read into that as a subtle or not so subtle message at all if you buy this t-shirt for your girlfriend or wife. Definitely a great idea. Won't cause you any problems in your relationship. No way. No how. Of course not. All right, let's take one more call before my guest joins me. Let's go to Matt in Wisconsin. Matt, you're on the air. Go ahead. Okay, I'm sorry. I can't hear you. It sounds like you're in the shower. Okay, well, that was, maybe he can fix that. Is Jeff ready to go? All right, let's go to our guest now. I'm sorry to do this because we're just taking it live. Is it Jeff? Is it Evely or is it Evely? Which way does it go here?
Evely.
Okay.
You.
Jeff Evely joins me now, retired veteran of the Canadian Armed Forces. And he recently decided to, I guess, stress test this new idea that hiking in the woods is a crime in Canada. So you went out for a hike, you got a citation, and now the rest is history. And you're joining me on the show. Why don't you kind of briefly lay out the things that happened that led to your criminal hike in the woods, and then we can get into what happened after.
Well, actually, you'd have to go back to 2023 to understand, because they brought in these pseudo climate lockdowns in 2023 when we had wildfires in Nova Scotia, and they put in a blanket ban for anybody entering the woods. Now, where I live in Cape Breton Island, there were no active fires, so I considered that to be an overreach at that time. And I took them to court over it, standing on my Charter of Rights and Freedoms rights, which is part of the Constitution in Canada. And the judge told me I couldn't stand on my rights alone, that there had to be money involved. And had I gotten fined, then I would have had standing in the court. It was dismissed on that basis. So when they brought in the blanket ban again this time, I knew what I had to do. I had to go out and take the $25,000 fine. So I called ahead to the Department of Natural Resources and let them know what I wanted to do and why I was doing it. I talked to the supervisor, came in when the guys were coming on their shift change, and you know, I just approached it kind of firm, fair, friendly, and I didn't stick any cameras in their face. I did my best to keep it as non-confrontational and cool-headed and professional as I could. They gave me kind of the gears initially because that's what their superiors expect them to do, and I understand that. So once we got those initial formalities out of the way, the guys were pretty accommodating. We went out behind the building, and on camera, I took a very short 90-second stroll through some dense bush behind their building, just so they could get that for the record. And we went back inside, and they issued me a ticket for a grand total of $28,872.50, because apparently on top of that $25,000 fine, there are taxes, court fees, and a victim fee. That's where we are now.
So a 90-second hike in the woods cost you 28 grand is what you're reporting here.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is some of the footage that you were taking, I guess, supposedly before your criminal hike right here with the caution tape?
Right. So this would have been the first day after they imposed the ban. They put this caution tape up on the trails in the provincial park by my house where I walk my dog every day. So I was actually pretty annoyed, and I knew I had to get the fine. So I was just kind of blowing off steam in this video because, you know, I wanted to be in the right mindset before I went and dealt with that confrontation with the conservation officers. So I never expected this to really take off, but holy smokes, did it ever go.
Well, I think there's a couple reasons why it did. First of all, you just look at that video. You look at the images here. It's so strange because I remember dealing with a lot of this during COVID, where they'd put up this caution tape. Like, there's a popular creek down here that people like to swim in, and they'd put up caution tape. We're just talking about a creek. We're not talking about like an actual official government pool or anything like that. Just you walk down some rocks, some woods, and you're swimming in the creek, and they put up this caution tape, and you're sitting there and you're like, wait, Who is denying me the right to walk in nature? Who's out here police taping off a creek? And so it's like, it's a similar vibe watching this. It's like, oh, extreme fire hazard. And then it's just a beautiful day in the woods and a piece of police tape, which, you know, that's littering, actually. They're the ones causing global warming with that plastic police tape out there. So now let's talk about kind of the developments that led to this, because obviously they were saying, oh, fire hazards, fire hazards. I'm sure you saw the recent video where they come out and they say, oh, well, actually, it's because you could go for a walk and break your leg. We can't have you. So it's just, how ridiculous is this?
It's absurd in the extreme. And that particular press conference as you're referring to right there, Susan Holt, she's the premier in a neighboring province, New Brunswick. And she basically threw our premier under the bus and said, yeah, obviously we're not telling you not going to the woods because your sneakers cause fire. We're telling you not to go into the woods because we're already battling fires, which they're not doing in Nova Scotia, but, we're already battling fires in New Brunswick. And, when you go into the woods, you're going to break your leg and we don't have the resources to come and save you. So it's a mismanagement crisis. And I think what we're seeing here is, something like, the paternalism of the guilty mind that is central to the essence of totalitarianism on full display in Atlantic Canada right now.
What has the response been? I mean, obviously, I've seen this get a lot of attention. You were kind of alluding to the fact you were surprised how much attention it got in the United States. But what about in Canada? What's the response been like there? Obviously, enough for that lady to come out and say, hey, you know, this is to protect you from you. But what about just generally speaking? How much of a response have you gotten in Canada?
It's been a pretty overwhelming response. I do get a few trolls. That is to be expected whenever you're doing something as publicly as this. And they are the nastiest, most disgusting people who will say the most odious things they can possibly imagine to me. And they always bring my service into it. So it makes it really hard for me to tell who the good and bad guys are in this. Thank you for that. But I would say like 98 to 99% of it has been overwhelmingly positive and supportive. People are quite grateful that I was willing to take one for the team. And it sounds like a lot of people, more than I expected even, are really fed up with this totalitarian garbage in Canada.
Well, boy, you guys have been dealing with it for a long time. I think the most striking images, again, were during COVID when you had the people protesting out in the cold getting stomped on by horses.
I was there.
Yeah, you were there too?
Mm-hmm. I got arrested at the trucker convoy. I just came back from Ottawa. We were appealing the charges that they gave me of mischief and obstructing. I was a war veteran wearing my war medals on my way to the war monument, and they told me I couldn't go. And I was like, the heck I can't. So they arrested me. It looks like we'll probably appeal that to the next level, so probably the Supreme Court. I was barred from the city of Ottawa for 2.5 years. I have to be the only veteran in Canadian history to have been barred from our national war monument for 2.5 years. When I did go back at one point, actually, and they rearrested me because I went to a wreath laying ceremony there that we helped organize to give dignity back to the monument and the veterans that were beaten and drug off it during the convoy. So they rearrested me for that. I've been involved in some other things as well. I got arrested a couple of times for refusing to mask up while I was shopping during COVID. So it was all the way down to us not being able to freely breathe the air here in Canada. And we're getting all of those creepy COVID authoritarian vibes again with these, pseudo climate lockdowns here in Nova Scotia.
Do you think that's where this is going? Do you think if they get away with this now, they're going to go full on with climate lockdowns? I mean, how far? They can't tell you you can't hike forever.
Well, we're in a situation right now where their failure to plan has constituted an emergency on the rest of our parts. Just like Susan Holt was saying, it's because we don't have the resources to keep you alive anymore that, we need to stifle and control you so closely. And it's the same thing here in Nova Scotia. Like, they don't have any of the right helicopters for water bombing. They have cut the fire services left, right, and center, even before they brought in the vaccine mandates and decimated our emergency services and our healthcare system and our nurses. So we're in a really bad way out here. We had a hurricane blow through about 3 years ago, and they still have all the deadfall out in the woods that they haven't cleaned up. And if it does light up, like, it is going to be a disaster. disaster, but they don't do their jobs. And because they don't do their jobs, now they're conscripting me into this whole of society effort where I'm expected to shoulder additional burdens in order to make up for their shortcomings. And it's effectively slavery in my mind, because it is labor without recompense and without consent.
Well, we've had a similar issue as far as them not doing the work to mitigate the risk of forest fires. We've had a similar issue here, but then a lot of the time we'll find out that a lot of these fires end up getting started by an individual, maybe a homeless person out in the woods starting a fire, or maybe a bad actor lighting off some fireworks to try to start some trouble. Is it a similar situation in Canada? Have you guys determined how these fires are starting? Is it bad actors like we've learned here in America?
Absolutely. Actually, the wildfires of 2023 that I referenced a little while ago there, the biggest one of all of them, which was the biggest wildfire in Nova Scotia history, was the Barrington wildfire. And the 22-year-old man who set that fire was only ever charged with lighting a fire on private property without permission, failing to take steps to prevent that fire from spreading, and leaving that fire unattended. Now, that sure sounds like arson to me. So if Tim Houston, my premier, really wanted to protect us from wildfires, then he would prosecute left-wing climate zealot eco-terrorists to the full extent of the law and just leave the rest of us alone.
Well, isn't that ironic? Again, it seems like we do share a lot of issues, America, United States, America, and Canada. But isn't that ironic? They're going to sit here, not do the work to mitigate forest fire issues, and then when they find out, even in these instances, like you said, the big wildfire from 2023, they find out it was caused by a human. No, they say it's climate change. So they say, oh, this is climate change. This is man-made climate change. This is, you know, using a gas car, all of this other stuff. And then it turns out, no, it was the government didn't do the proper work to mitigate the risk. And then, even worse, you might say, it's actually started by a human on the ground starting a fire and not putting it out. And then they just blame climate change, and they use that to control the people even more.
Yeah. And, you know, fires have been going down. The number of fires and hectares burned have been going down the entire time that we've been tracking it. And I think they got burned, pun intended, during the 2023 Nova Scotia wildfires, because they hyped the climate change to the point that one of our MPs here in Nova Scotia, which is the equivalent of a congressman in the United States, stood on the floor of the House of Commons and blamed the rest of us for driving our cars for setting Nova Scotia on fire. And then after the fact, it all comes out that it was in fact arson. There were multiple cases of arson, not just the one for the Barrington fire, but there were two cases of arson in Pictou as well. So arson, and they're screaming climate change. And I think they may have ended up with a little bit of egg on their face. And perhaps we're seeing a glimmer of shame finally on the part of our leadership here in Canada.
Really? Is that because they've been caught lying about climate change? Or is that because they went so all in on it and then got proven that no, it had nothing to do with the weather?
I think people still, by and large, buy into the climate narrative in Canada, including our politicians, but perhaps maybe our politicians are learning to not get way over their skis. And this, I mean, when I say politicians, I think that also includes the press, because they're bought and paid for by the government here in Canada. The mainstream press is paid by our government, so they are propagandists. They're not journalists. And they all got on board with the same narrative, but they don't seem to be hyping the climate stuff this time around as much as they were last time. And, you know, I just went out this morning. It hadn't rained in a while. I wouldn't have noticed if our politicians and bureaucrats weren't freaking out. But I went out this morning. I did another video this morning, and I was like, look at this. Like, the grass is wet, okay? There was rain here last night. It was all foggy this morning. And all these people are freaking out over nothing. You know, it's called summer. You don't have to call it fire season all the time. You're just scaring the crap out of kids. And, you know, this is all kind of life. This is normal life stuff that you guys are supposed to be able to manage and mitigate the risks of.
Well, you obviously have a track record of sticking your neck out there for causes like this, freedom causes like this. But you're not the only Canadian that likes to hike the woods. You know, where are the people coming to aid you? Where are the people? Where are the voices supporting you? Are they there? I mean, I'm not seeing it. It could be just because I'm in the U.S. and not Canada. But I mean, what about the support system behind you?
The support is coming from the citizen base, right? The citizenry is reaching out to me for support. I'm doing all kinds of interviews with more supportive media. There's also some hostile media in there as well, with the mainstream guys, framing the issue as a safety one instead of a rights one, and describing me as a right winger, which to them means racist, and leaving out the fact that I'm a veteran of 20 years service and two wars. So there's some of that. I haven't seen any politician really weigh in on this in any meaningful way. There are some retired politicians who are disparaging me, I'm not going to hold my breath for one of the so-called conservatives here in Canada to come out and take a stand on principle, because frankly all our parties in Canada are left-wing. I would be astonished to find out that even if the leader of the conservatives doesn't really buy the climate narrative, like they do buy the climate narrative, and they try to push things like carbon capture and stuff like this. So I'm not holding my breath for any mainstream politician to come to my defense, that's for sure.
You know, what do you, this is the one thing that kind of boggles my mind, and I, it's not a situation where I think everybody wants, or everybody thinks like me or wants the same things that I want, but it's like, what do you think goes through other Canadians' mind? Because to me, it's like, hey, if I want to go out and hike in the woods, why, like, what do you mean I can't go hike in the woods? What do you mean I can't go take my dog for a walk in the woods? Hell, even if there was a fire, okay, if you want to go out in the woods in a fire, that's on you. Do Canadians, I see it in America too, it's like, do people just not understand, once you give the government this power, you have no freedom? You won't even have basic freedom of movement?
Yeah, you don't. Effectively, we do not have basic freedom of movement, even though it is guaranteed under our Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And the way Canadians will react, I think, is in accordance with their Marxist conditioning. What I hear is they reframe the issues all the time. Like I mentioned, Globalist News here in Canada, they ran a story, I think, yesterday. And I spent, half an hour talking to these people about rights and freedoms and how these rights and freedoms are hard won. Many Canadians have paid the ultimate sacrifice for these freedoms. These freedoms are the legacy of our fallen. And to see our politicians and bureaucrats wiping their asses with the legacy of our fallen is a gross indignity to veterans, and I think an affront to human dignity more broadly. But they will still reframe that as a safety issue. So I'm talking about a rights issue. They will reframe it as a safety issue. And they often reframe rights issues as needs issues as well. They will say, like, you don't need to go in for a walk in the woods. Well, yeah, okay, but you don't need your Gucci handbag either. I mean, we live in a free society. You may live your life as you see fit, so long as you bring no harm to another. So it does seem to be, to me at least, that the info campaigns to basically brainwash us into this utilitarian Marxist worldview have been broadly effective. But I think the more our leaders talk, the more people wake up. And that's what I'm trying to do, is keep that pressure on. And I love seeing Susan Holt go out there and tell us that we need somebody
for
to babysit.
For your own safety, stay home.
Right now, for only 7 days, we're having the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. About to break it all down right now. Only, we have launched the biggest sale ever on collectible bullion, silver coins, and our amazing collectible knives at thealexjonesstore.com. The sale is Blades and Bullion Super Sale. Now, ladies and gentlemen, despite the fact that we're about to sell out of the remaining collectible coins that are limited edition, they'll never be made again, and our incredible World War II updated Spartan trench knife with a skull crusher and the brass knuckles and the 10-inch stainless steel razor-sharp double-edged blade, and this incredible 6-inch battle dagger, despite the fact they're selling out, we are offering all of these products at up to 40% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if I went into a knife shop and I saw these knives for this price, and they weren't even inscribed with 1776 or Tip of the Spear or InfoWars, I would still get them because I'm a knife aficionado and I know the best. And the reason that is because these are the knives I love. These are the knives I think are the best. It took us over a year to get a supplier at a decent price with high quality for this bad boy right here. And it's selling out quick. Got an amazing inscription, Tip of the Spear with the Spartan. On the other side, InfoWars, a true piece of history with the high-tech scabbard sheath that hooks on your belt. Simply amazing. Now look at this bad boy. It goes great in your purse, great in your car, right on your side, high-tech sheath. Doesn't come out, but easily, there's a fallout, but easily pulls out. This won't run out of bullets. This will defend you and your family. This grab a 1776 on one side, collectible, limited edition, Alex Jones signature on the other side. And it comes with this collectible gift case, makes an amazing gift as well. And then, as I was mentioning, look at these coins. There are only a few hundred left of each one of these. Only 5,000 were made of each. You've got, due to popular demand, Alex Jones on one side, InfoWars on the other. Then you've got one of my favorites, Paul Revere, his Midnight Ride, Our Lives, Our Fortune, and Our Honor, Declaration of Independence on the other. Then you've got the Tip of the Spear Spartan helmet and the Gadsden flag snake with the spear through the middle, Tip of the Spear. And then this one, they hold back only a few hundred of these, even though these were available anymore. Trump, fight, 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 battle for the Republic, commemorating President Trump. All four of these coins are about to sell out. You can get them discounted individually or even bigger discount when you get all four together. Right now, part of the Blades and Bullion Super Sale. These are collectible. These are great prices. This knife right here sells for $100 in stores. We bought 5,000 of them. They're almost sold out, but it's selling to you for $78, and it funds the operation. Same thing with this. This knife sells all day for $150 in stores. We bought a whole bunch of them, so it's massively discounted to you. And you talk about defending yourself and your family, this is it. And you're also funding the Tip of the Spear in the information war while you do this, so you cannot lose. The only way you fail is not taking action at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get the Ultra Red Link Blue, get the very best Irish CMOS, the very best Shilajit, the very best turmeric. It's all there, and it funds this operation. I cannot do this without you. I try to bring you really cool things that I think are amazing, the best supplements, you name it. So you buy it, you get it, you love it, it empowers you, and you're happy with what you did. You continue to support us. I want a long-term relationship with you. I want to thank those who have supported the broadcast. I want to encourage those of you who have been on the fence to take action now, get amazing products, and keep us on the air. Be part of history. Thank you so much.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
And we've got a Canadian hero, really, Jeff Eveley. And I didn't get into his long track record of service here. It's very impressive. But now, engaging in pro-freedom resistance against the authoritarian Canadian regime that we are witnessing now in Canada, our neighbors to the north. You know, Jeff, I see really what you've done, similar to some stunts, some political stunts that I've done in the past. It really becomes more of even just a basic political stunt or a political point that you're trying to make, which is, look at how authoritarian our government is, and then you try to make a public case with that to try to raise awareness. But the other aspect of this, which is also true, is look at how nonsensical it is. So aside from the angle of, hey, government authoritarianism here telling me I can't go into the woods, also look at how goofy it is. They put a piece of police tape out here in the middle of the woods, and then they decide where you can go, where you can't go. The whole thing is extremely arbitrary. So I look at this. I find it an effective means of communication when you go out there, expose government tyranny, but also kind of have the angle of look at how ridiculous this is, because most people left or right can kind of sit there and say, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. That's interesting. So do you think, because I look at what we do in America, and usually when you have an effective campaign like this, you kind of back them off. You kind of back them off a little bit when you win in the court of public opinion. Is it the same in Canada, or do your political leaders clamp down even harder on you?
Pressure works. That is true. They do try to clamp down harder on us, like they did after the convoy. But I think that they did face a bit of a public backlash for what they still are facing a public backlash for what they did there, despite what happened in the last election. I mean, the Liberals did get reelected. I think what we accomplished at the convoy was we forced a tyrant to act like a tyrant. So we apply that pressure and then watch how stupid and abusive they become. I think we're going to see that, throughout this particular campaign. And, you know, I would say, like, I haven't really described it as a stunt either. It's an act of civil disobedience. I tried to keep it as calm and rational as I could throughout the entire interaction with those conservation officers. I think that got me a lot further with them than I would have gotten otherwise. And also, like, part of the reason why I published the video was hopefully to set an example that others can use to put the civil back in civil disobedience, because that does seem to be something that we've lost in the last several years here in Canada, is our civility.
An interesting point there. How do you keep civil disobedience civil? Maybe there are certain guardrails there, and sometimes we do press up against them. But really, I think it's all about effectiveness, right? It's all about effectiveness in communication. It's all about effectiveness in getting the message across. And I think when you talk about dealing, in your case, dealing with the conservation officers, it's like, hey, look, I'm not here to make you an enemy. I don't even have this viewpoint that you're my enemy. If anything, we need to be allies on this. I understand you got to do your job. So obviously, mm-hmm. You approach this very... you have a mindset of, hey, let me find out the best means of effective communication and presentation for what it is that I'm trying to prove here.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to kind of understand where the other party is coming from, you know, try to put yourself in their shoes a little bit. Trump is quite good at this. He's pretty good, like, at making deals and things like that. And I think he really prides himself on being able to assess, you know, what makes people tick. So I just tried to, and I was, you know, I was in the military, so I understand that, you know, these guys have a certain job to do and things like that. And I just tried to show them as much understanding as I could to say, I'm not trying to make trouble for you guys. I'm after Tim Houston, our premier right now. Unfortunately, the only way for me to drag him into court is to get you guys to write me a ticket. So, like, I'm really just here for a little bit of paperwork. And I did my best to make it as painless for them as possible. I think they appreciated it. And it was effective for that reason. And like you said, sometimes like the situation needs to dictate. Under these circumstances, I think that this was the most effective approach. There have been other circumstances, you know, when I get a little bit more in your face and stuff like that. But this is not one of those times. So I think this is a good time to kind of take the temperature down a little bit. People cannot be rational and emotional at the same time. And they're driving the fear narrative. It's all fear and hatred in our narrative up here in Canada. And that's what people are acting on. If you act out of fear, or you act out of anger, you will live to regret it. So let's let cooler heads prevail in this thing. And, I think we'll be better off in the long run.
A bit of a lesson in civil disobedience, if you will. You can't be rational and emotional at the same time. That is so well said.
Thank you.
Let that ring true throughout everybody hearing this transmission. I'm not as familiar with the left-right paradigm in Canadian politics as I am with American politics. But what I see is the left wing, the radical left wing in America has kind of been able to own the nature conservation issue, let's say, And really, I don't even think it's about them wanting to preserve nature or even generally caring about the planet. I think it's really just more about control for them, and they just kind of use that as a means of control, a method of control, yes, pretending to be environmentalist. It goes back to Democrats like Barbara Boxer and others in California. But really, to me, I think conserving nature, conserving the environment, to me, that's a right-wing issue. To me, that falls directly under the parameters of conservatism. And so what I kind of see is that in the jockeying between the left and right in America, sometimes the right, just like you say, will kind of get emotional, and they'll just, it's like, oh, we're just going to discount conservationists altogether, and we're just going to discount the environment altogether. Like, drill, baby, drill. It's like, no, I support drilling and utilizing our energy resources, absolutely, but that doesn't mean we discount the environment. That doesn't mean we discount nature. We actually do have to be the stewards. We do have to be conservatives when it comes to preserving the environment as well. But I've seen the right just let the left wing own that. I mean, I don't know, a fraction of voters, maybe 5-10%. It maybe impacts politically. But do you see a similar thing happening in Canada where the left wing just gets to own this issue for all the wrong reasons, and then the right wing, which naturally should be conservatists when it comes to nature, just kind of abandon it and get into like the political squabbles instead?
Yeah, and that's a very, I think, astute observation too, because, you know, woodsmen and hunters and fishermen and stuff like that, they tend to be more right-leaning. So the people who really enjoy nature and appreciate nature, they tend to be right-wing. But Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace, he's got a good video for PragerU there where he talks about how the radicals colonized the environmental movement back in the 70s, because it was more scientific and it was about the environment initially, but the environmental movement essentially went Marxist back in the 70s, and it's kind of like this Gaia worship movement now where humanity is seen as like the bourgeois class, and we're oppressing the environment as the proletariat class. And they're trying to overthrow the proletariat. He even says that they basically put the environmental concerns above human life. And you know, you can hear the way that they talk about humans, like they're a plague or a scourge on the planet, like we're parasites, sucking the life out of Mother Earth and this kind of thing. So there's a very dehumanizing quality to environmentalism on the left, but on the right, I think it's really more about, just the usual cold hard facts and, what is right or wrong.
All right, Jeff. Well, you certainly have a long track record of heroic action, and this is just your latest there in the woods. Before I let you go, you know, we do have a large audience in Canada. I would just offer you some final words here.
What I would say, first of all, let me plug my not-for-profit, Veterans for Freedom, because there's about 2 degrees of separation between us and you guys. Especially Drew McGilvery, our president, discovered a lady by the name of Kayla Pollack that's been on your show quite a few times, and she's been wheelchair bound since she took the vaccine and is now pursuing legal action here in Canada. So, obviously, we're cheering for her, and we tend to think of her as one of our own. So there is that kind of just a couple of degrees of separation between us. And also, what I would say is, look, you know, we're a nation that says, lest we forget, not because we need to remind ourselves to get out once a year and have a funeral for our fallen soldiers, but lest we forget what they stood for, lest we forget how hard won these freedoms that we all enjoy really are, and lest we forget that we all have a sacred civic duty to safeguard these freedoms, that inheritance for future generations. That's why we sang "We Stand on Guard for Thee" in our national anthem. So I think we got to get back to being the true North, strong and free. And I hope that the example that I set would be one to perhaps bring back the civility that we were so well known for internationally just prior to COVID.
All right, Jeff Evely, whenever there is an update on your legal situation with that citation, you let us know and we will update our audience.
Will do, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, thank you for your time. There goes Jeff, really an impressive resume beyond just the civil disobedience that he's displaying. And, you know, it's the kind of stuff like that, it does inspire me. It does inspire me, and maybe I'm not somebody that needs inspiration like that, but some others do. others do. Sometimes other people might be on the fence or even afraid to engage in civil disobedience like that. And you see actions from a guy like Jeff and it can inspire you. So some people do need that inspiration. And anytime you can execute civil disobedience properly, it does have a profound impact. And so I think Jeff is living proof of that. All right, I'm with you here for about 15 more minutes before Chase Geyser is going to come in here, and then I'm going to get ready to go to the war room. And then tonight, Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes with a special broadcast. So a very busy day here at InfoWars. I want to give out the phone number again because I know Chase wants to take calls in the final hour. And I'll take a couple more here, too, if I have time before he takes over. 877-789-2539. Number is on the screen. 877-789-2539. I don't know if he's going to be wearing the new shirt from the AlexJonesStore.com. I doubt it. He's probably going to put on a shirt and a tie. But you can. We do finally have it up. The new Good Jeans t-shirt. So it was kind of an unintentional tease earlier, but it is now at the site. Great Jeans limited edition t-shirt. Get one for your wife or girlfriend. She'll love it. She won't hate it at all. She won't get mad at you. She won't take it as a not-so-subtle message. Great idea to improve your relationship with your significant other. If you're a larger man, too, perfect shirt for you. It will really amplify your assets, if you will, with these Great Jeans, the Great Jeans limited edition t-shirt. And, of course, it's your support at thealexjonesstore.com. That keeps us on the air. So we really appreciate that. We really appreciate our VIP members, thealexjonesstore.com. Okay, let's go to Sam in Tennessee. Sam, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Mr. Schroyer. Hey, I got probably talking a couple of things, but the thought in my mind right now is I was reading an article a few days ago on one of the Russian sites. And they were covering this lady, Diana Panchenko is her name.
And yeah, that's the Ukrainian journalist. She's a Ukrainian investigative journalist, correct?
Yes. And I was thinking that could be yes. So you already know where I'm going. And I was thinking that could potentially be an interesting interview subject if she can speak English. Everything I've seen from her has been transcripted into English. So
no, I do believe she speaks English. I actually do follow her work. And
okay.
I have tried to reach out before. I've never been able to make the connection, though. I have tried to reach out to get her on the air before, but it's never manifested.
Well, she's getting blocked left and right. That's probably not making it easy. Like the YouTube account got deleted for her now too. So they're making it very challenging to see anything this person's saying, which is exactly why I was bringing that up.
So, yeah, well, she's a Ukrainian investigative journalist, and she doesn't exactly toe the political line, let's say.
Yeah, well, what makes her interesting to me is she still considers herself Ukrainian, but she's opposed to Zelensky because she considers him basically a warmonger.
You know what? Here's what's amazing about it. Here's what's amazing about it, and I've kind of unintentionally put the crew on this now, so they're saying we're going to get her on. So maybe I'll get her on. Maybe even as soon as today on the War Room, guys, if you want to try to set that up. Here's what's so incredible. When it comes to war propaganda, everything operates differently. And that's why, you know, I don't mean to be long-winded here, Sam, but you've opened up this can. And so I might as well go there. Folks, I've been working here at InfoWars since 2016. I've been doing political commentary since 2012 or 13, and I've dealt with all kinds of propaganda and pushback and attacks. I mean, you name it, and it doesn't. I don't get off kilter. I don't get unbalanced because of it. I'm used to it. Now I say that to bring this point home. When you're dealing with war propaganda, it is a totally different world. Political propaganda, most of the time, falls somewhere within the left-right paradigm. Political propaganda, you can usually go to like one or two degrees of discussion, debate, evidence, proof, argument, and people will be able to consume what it is you're getting at. Now, whether they agree or not, it's a different story. But it's like with just political propaganda, that's kind of like a light. It's like if you're trying to cut something, that's like thin. It's like you can kind of cut through that. It's kind of thin. War propaganda is, that's like trying to cut through a 1,000-year-old redwood tree. So political propaganda, it's like a little apple tree. War propaganda is like a giant, the biggest trees in the world, trying to cut through that. Or like, what are those big trees in the California forest that like, they don't even burn down, they're so thick. So it's a similar story in Israel. It's a similar story in Ukraine. Any dissenting voices, because the American perspective, the propaganda that Americans are being fed is that you have to support Ukraine no matter what. So anybody that comes out against that, the long knives are out, the attacks are out, the propaganda comes. There's nothing else like that. Political propaganda attacks, it's like, get off my shoulder. But the war propaganda, that is heavy stuff. They will try to destroy you. They will try to destroy your reputation. They will come after your family. And I say that to make this point. Of all the stuff that I've done here at InfoWars, of all the different attacks that I've fallen under, all the different propaganda movements targeting me, everything else, I think the most intense one is probably over the Israeli war right now. Now, if you recall, when we started coming out against the war in Ukraine, they started putting us on hit lists. On hit lists. Now the same thing is happening. So you come out against the war in Ukraine, they put you on a hit list. You come out against the war in Israel, they put you on lists. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. And that's because it's beyond just political power. It's money. It's land, it's resources, it's permanent political infrastructure. So yeah, you're somebody in Israel that's against Netanyahu. They're not going to let you're not getting out. That message is not getting out. How often in Western media do you see tens of thousands of people in the streets protesting Netanyahu in Israel every week? You don't see it one time. They never show you that. That's not allowed to get out. You're in America. You're supposed to support what Israel is doing, period, no matter what. They even try to tell you it's Christian now, which might be the most offensive thing, quite frankly, as a Christian, that I, as a Christian, have some sort of a biblical duty to support the landmass, the nation state of Israel, which is less than 100 years old on the map, and is a total biblical fallacy that the landmass of Israel and its government has anything to do with the Israel of the Bible. It's two totally different things. But this might be the most offensive, that somehow I, as a Christian, must support what Israel is doing in the Gaza Strip. It's my biblical doctrine. No, it's not. And that's offensive and that's blasphemous for you to even say that. Like Jonathan Greenblatt comes out and now Christianity is anti-Semitic. Oh, yeah. Now just Christianity is anti-Semitic. And where are the Christians standing up for this? Of course, they're nowhere. And you've got all the bought and paid for big church pastors that are owned by Israel. They tell you it's all part of your doctrine. It's all a big lie. So my point is that is the hardest propaganda to cut through, is war propaganda. There's so much money invested. There's so many different layers and levels of propaganda that when you try to explain it to people, they can't even believe it because it sounds so absurd. And yet, even to somebody who's not politically active or engaged and can just kind of sit here and witness it, they get it. That's why Israel is losing the battle so much. Because it's almost like the more politically informed you are on these issues, it's harder to even see it. Whereas somebody who's politically uninformed just looks at it very neutrally and says, geez, why is there all this pro-Israel stuff all around me? Gee, why do I only hear about the plight of Israel, but all the stuff I see every day happening in the Gaza Strip is, why am I being told that I don't have to see that? And that's propaganda. So long answer here, but my point is that I've never seen a more well-organized, well-funded, intense propaganda campaign than I'm witnessing right now for the war that Israel is launching in, by the way, four different countries now. So it's I mean, it's heavy, folks. It's heavy. And I talk to other people in the media that don't work at InfoWars, or, you know, they've got other things to think about, and they'll either say, hey, thank you for doing this, I can't do it for X, Y, or Z reason, or they'll say, you know, how do you deal with all of this? Like, I just made one statement, and I've never had so much hate in my life. I've never been called an anti-Semite before, but I just make one statement that's not pro-Israel, and now all of a sudden they're putting me on a list? So believe me, I get it. But you know what? This is all part of the process, folks. It's all part of the process. The global awakening, the American Renaissance, this was always going to be part of the process. And really, it's sad. It's sad that this is what's going on. But in kind of a dark, twisted way, it's good. In a dark, twisted way, it's good. Because we are just going through the dominoes, if you will, of the different corrupt establishments that have been destroying our country for years. And Israel happens to be one of them. So we're just at that level now. That's just the truth. And so they try to play this game, and Greenblatt at the ADL does it. They all do it. They try to play this game of, if you don't support Israel, you're anti-Semitic, which is just a lie. It's just a blatant and disgusting and egregious lie. When you have Orthodox Jews all over the world protesting against Netanyahu, and you have Israeli Jews in the streets every week protesting against Netanyahu, but the American media is so controlled by this propaganda wing that they don't even let you see it. All right, I'll squeeze one in quickly here. Glenn in St. Louis, quickly. I got 60 seconds. I'm sorry I went long. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Owen?
Good, thank you.
Hey, we all have to remember that note that Trump view here is the spirit, is the sound of the spirit. Since 1776, we the people have lived within it. That's the same Trump that was heard around the world. Get it? It's the Trump behind the Trump. You know, that's for sure. So these people are trying to graft themselves onto the American way of life. And, you know, why are we getting beat up? Because we got it right. And, you know, they have to remember, you know, you're obliged to abide when you cross that line.
Well, yeah, Trump has just become a political vehicle now that all these people are trying to ride in on and seize power. That's how I see it. The tech people, the Israel lobby, it's like everybody's just trying to ride in on the vehicle of Trump, and then he just kind of ends up serving as a distraction from the real issues.
We need funds. We're fighting the globalists at Point Blank Range. And they got a receivership hearing with Judge Gloria Gamble that ran the Texas show trial next week to send the sheriffs here. I get it could be within days next Wednesday to shut us down. And I'm sure we'll get lots of funds then once we're shut down. Be like, oh, God, he really did need help. Oh, yeah. We have been battling and barely surviving. They turned the internet off here before. They had a fake sale to Bloomberg's front group. Remember all that? And it was because we didn't give up and the crew didn't give up. When I told the crew, no, we're going to beat this, don't go. And I stayed here and slept here a couple times. We're still here. And because you bought the products, we had enough money for lawyers to go battle it and beat it. Everybody listening needs to get off the fence, get off the bench, get up at the plate, and needs to go become a VIP. $30 a month, see it as a donation. You get $40 each month to spend in the store, sales on top of everything, special deals, special offers just to you. It's insane. And then if you really just want to support and you don't want methylene blue or turmeric, you're crazy if you don't, or Ultimate Life Force, the best cardiovascular spike protein detox, everybody should be taking it. I mean, it's the best. Ultimate Life Force is the best cardiovascular, heart health, spike protein detoxer. Every man, woman, and child should take at least one regimen of it, see how you feel. It does dramatic things. We have the strongest turmeric. You should get it. And I got a lot of news to cover. I won't sit here and beat a dead horse, but the news we get out is so powerful, and it's that less than 1% of people that buy stuff at theauctionstore.com that make all this possible. And this fight is your fight. They want us off the air because they want to shut down focal points of organizations that hold the Trump administration's feet to the fire and warn Trump and warn his advisors and have a big effect and big pull, as the administrations have said and as the Democrats have said. They've come after Trump. They've sued Trump. They've had their operatives in there, and they see our stuff everywhere. Step into the zone of history and understand that you are the king. You are the variable. You are the Paul Revere's. You are the resistance. And this dog don't hunt without you.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.